with the help of the Almighty, I pray to the Almighty to bestow upon me His truth, His wisdom, and that I may be worthy of conveying His truth and wisdom to this beautiful, esteemed gathering. And I pray to the Almighty that in so doing we should be able to together sanctify His name and fulfill His name, which is Shalom. Shalom we say in Hebrew, which means peace, and bringing peace to this world. Amen. Firstly, I'd like to thank from the depth of my heart and convey my appreciation to this great association, a new developed association, which is the Canadian Shia Muslim Association organization, which has been set up something new, and it's a movement that shows right from the beginning, right from the start, that what they're trying to reach, the goal, is the harmony and the service of the Almighty throughout the world in peace. Harmony, friendship, and love. And this is seen by the fact that from all the great speakers and people who would be able to convey beautiful thoughts and so forth, a rabbi was chosen to speak. So we are extremely touched by this, and as I say, this really shows that the underlying reason of this association is, with God's help, to do the will of the Almighty, of bringing hearts together, of serving Him in peace and harmony throughout the world. Of course, my special thanks is to the head of this association, Mr. Fayaz Mehdi, for giving me this privilege of being able to speak here today. And, of course, my heart pains me extremely, and it's very hard to convey the feelings that I have. I've, with the help of the Almighty, had the opportunity to speak and to be at many, many conferences through the years and many gatherings, and with the help of the Almighty, I've been extremely careful, and I don't recall a time that we had to cancel a meeting because of some extreme hardship. I'm trying to recall if there was any times that we canceled the meeting altogether. But everything has its time, everything has its place. And unfortunately, I've had, because of some emergency that happened in my family, that I wasn't able to make it personally to come out to Toronto. And I was looking forward to this. It meant so much to me. It was something which was exciting. And as I say, this touched the depth of my heart. I apologize profusely. I hope, inshallah, with the help of the Almighty, to make this up coming some other time in the near future, personally, to convey and discuss our message and discuss and befriend everybody here from this August group, from this very special gathering. And again, I apologize, but with God's help, I will try to convey a message. And the message that I wanted to give over personally, I will try to convey. And I hope, with God's help, that it will be accepted, understood, and accepted with friendship and love, and comprehended totally. And as I say, and I really hope that my apology is accepted. It hurts us very much, not only me, but the other members, the other rabbis of my organization, and we tried many, many other rabbis to come who was able to speak. Maybe you know, in the Jewish community, where we don't speak, many of the rabbis, many of the leaders speak in Yiddish. It's like a German dialect, and in the old Hebrew, Lashon Lashon Kodesh, and therefore it is extremely hard for many of the rabbis to express themselves in English, and therefore the rabbis that do go out and speak, being that it's Al Quds Day, had been already given speaking engagements around America and around the world, as far in Europe, in Berlin, and in England, and so forth. So therefore, and when this emergency came up, I really could not find anybody at the time to be able to give a proper message. Again, I apologize, and with God's help, we will do God's will as this is, because this is God's will that it should be done like this. Firstly, Jewish people, as anybody who studies the history of Judaism and the history of all our neighbors, the Arab and the Muslim countries, the Arab and the Muslim communities, knows that we were always living together throughout the hundreds and hundreds of years in harmony, in friendship, and that the Jewish people had always flourished as religious Jewish communities amongst the Arab and Muslim countries. The Arab and Muslim countries was a safe haven for the Jewish people in the times of need, in the times of suffering and trials and tribulations, whether it was by the Spanish Inquisition or whether up to recent times, when the times of Hitler, may his name be obliterated, Jews by the Holocaust escaped and went to Muslim and Arab countries. And this is a fact. So one must understand that the difference that we have in serving the Almighty, the Jewish nation and the Arab Muslim nation, is not an impediment to peace in any manner. On the contrary, we were always able to live without any human rights groups or United Nations. We were able to flourish and live our lives. What has changed? There is something that has unfortunately come into the picture, and for the last over 100 years, and this is called Zionism, and more recently the State of Israel. And since this has come about, there has been, unfortunately, a rift driven between these great people. And people think that this rift is really rooted in the differences of our beliefs, Judaism and the Arab and the Muslim people. Therefore, it is most crucial that we understand what the true problems are, what the true cause of all these wars, the flowing of blood, the hard feelings, the mistrust, the suspicion, and so on. What is it rooted in? What is the reason? Because in order to be able to come to a remedy, to be able to save ourselves from further pain, suffering, we must know what the problem is. I must say that in this worthy gathering, there are people who have their daily life, and they have very much to do, and the time is precious. And still in all, these people here tonight are coming here to listen to us speak. It is something that I must be very thankful for, and I am. We're touched, and we must say that we're extremely thankful for every individual who is willing to give of their time to listen to our message, and willing to listen even though so many years have passed of this terrible rift and misunderstanding and problems, and what the Palestinian people have gone through, and still there's the willingness to come and listen to our message. We are extremely thankful. So assalamu alaikum to all of you who are here today. And let us get on with the subject. Again, the time is extremely limited, so we won't be able to really go into depth on all the issues of what Zionism is goes, Zionism embraces and Zionism attacks, basically. But what we can do is shed light and just give a spark of light that people should be able to go further from here and study and understand and feel secure enough that they should be able to approach the issue of Palestine and stand up for the people of Palestine and be able to again coexist with Jewish people and do God's will. The issue of Judaism and Zionism is the subject we're going to talk about with God's help. Judaism is a religion of thousands of years. Judaism is the covenant that the Jews accepted upon themselves on Mount Sinai. It is the subservience to the Almighty. It is the acceptance of 613 commandments of the Torah. We always like to point out that according to the Jewish belief, all humanity is created by God. All humanity must believe that God gave Moses the Torah, and that in the Torah it states that one should believe in the one God, not serve idol worshipery, not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery, and to have a court system, and not to eat from an animal while it's still shaking, even if it was just killed. So there's a few basic interesting laws. It's called the seven mitzvahs, the seven commandments of Noah. This is something that is for the entire world, and we believe that anybody who upholds these laws, the prophet Elijah wrote in his book, Tana Dvei Elyo, and the Maimonides wrote in his book, that a person who upholds these commandments is a righteous individual and will inherit the world to come. There is no question about that. One does not have to be Jewish to be accepted by God. And the Jewish people have always coexisted with others with this understanding. Judaism, though, as I said, is the acceptance of the 613 commandments of the Torah. That means that in the Torah it states we must be totally subservient and accept all the laws of the Torah, and that is what it means to be a Jewish person, and if not, we're, God forbid, a sinner. The Jewish people upheld this set of laws throughout their time that was given on Mount Sinai a few thousand years ago. We were given the land of the Holy Land, and God told us, as it's read in the Torah, that the people, the Canaanites, were being sent out of the land because they defiled the land. They served idol worshipery. And we were told that we must remain on a high level of holiness in order to be able to live there in the Holy Land. If we aren't remaining on that high level, we will be sent into exile. And that is exactly what came about to the Jewish people. They were sent into exile. Exile means the banishment by God from the Holy Land. But let us regress again, because I just want to first touch on the basic of what Zionism is. Zionism is the transformation of the subservience of a Jewish person to the Almighty, of the acceptance that a Jewish person accepts that his whole life will be to perform the God's commandments, that God is the equation. And Zionism comes along and it transforms that. It says that, no, Judaism is materialism, Judaism is nationalism, a goal to have a piece of land. It's totally the diametric opposite. It's the contradiction of what it means to be a Jew. The concept of having a land, a materialism, a nationalism, was brought through people who were themselves people who estranged themselves from God in this Torah. Theodor Herzl, Ben-Gurion, Chaim Weizmann, Jabotinsky, all these people detested God, all these people detested all the laws of the Torah, and they were not satisfied with only leaving the Torah. These fathers of the movement of the ideology of Zionism wanted to, feel they were driven by Satan, they wanted to uproot from the hearts of the Jew what it means to be a Jew, the connection to God. Judaism is no more, God forbid, according to them, is no more the covenant, the acceptance of the commandments of God. It means to materialism, to have a nation, to have a strong army, to have a strong Olympic team. Not to be ashamed of the prowess, not to be ashamed of the accomplishments and the victories of Italy, of France, of the US. This is what Zionism is. And this is apropos for people who have a life that is an empty shell, that they are not connected to God, and that is what Zionism was. Obviously, Zionism in this form, Zionism, this ideology, is something which was opposed by any and every Jewish religious community throughout the world, and by their rabbinical, their leaders, which was the rabbis, because this is not what it means to be a Jew. They fought this tooth and nail, this ideology, which was created a little over 100 years ago. Remember, Judaism is thousands of years. Zionism was created only a little over 100 years. And they fought this. But not only is the concept, the ideology of Zionism in opposition to the Torah, in action, what they took in order to reach this goal of having a land is in every aspect, in every facet, a rebellion against God, a breach and totally rebelling against all God's commandments. For instance, in the Torah, it says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. It says that we must emulate God. Just as God is compassionate, we must be compassionate. Now, Zionism comes along and decides to create a state. First, they wanted to create their national home in Uganda because they really were looking to further themselves from God. But these people were practical, and when they understood and they discussed in their meetings in Basel and Switzerland in 1897 and the other meetings they had, and they discussed that if they'll try to just make their national home in some fruitful land, who will support them? So they changed their plan. And they said, we will go to Palestine and we will wave the Bible and we will say, see, this is the land that was given to us by God and we are going to now retake it. Basically, being that these people were godless and they didn't have the morals of the Torah, they had no compunctions in pulling a con job, a total falsification of the truth. These people detested religion. And yet, they put on this facade of religion. They stole the identity of Judaism, the Star of David. They hijacked the name of the Jews. So the state of Israel. Israel is Jacob in the Torah. And all in order to gain and glean legitimacy and gain support from the evangelistic Christians and from the Jews around the world who are unfortunately not knowledgeable in their teaching in the Torah, and they knew that Jews always knew we yearned to return to the Holy Land. They knew these people, they'll be able to con and get them to back them in the taking of the land. So the first thing is they changed their plans from going to Uganda or Rochester or Patagonia, which they wanted next to Argentina, and they decided they'll take Palestine. And the fact that there was people living there, that it was an inhabited land, contrary to their mantra that it was a land without a people for a people without a land. No, Palestine, the majority of people living in Palestine were the Muslim community, and then there was the Christian community and the Jewish community. This Jewish community that was living there was a minority, but a very religious Jewish community, and they all opposed this takeover, this despicable, selfish, evil takeover of the land for the Palestinian people. And that we will mention, we will talk about. I will just show you what the rabbis said about this Zionism. But before we get into that, we want you to know that Jews around the world today, and without any break in history, from the day the Zionists came up to Palestine the Jewish communities, the truly religious communities, the Jews, our hearts are rent and we cry and we feel the suffering of the people of Palestine, the people of Gaza. We feel we are humiliated because it is being done in our name. As I said, our identity is hijacked. And we oppose this. It is against God. It is forbidden. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. And it's just logical that all the very religious communities should oppose it. And so is the one, it that the ones who are true to Judaism around the world oppose it. The more the religious the community, the more they oppose it. If you will go to Williamsburg, New York, that's right across from Manhattan, you will find it's the largest concentration of religious Jews, and there's not one Israeli flag. If you will go to Mea Shearim in Jerusalem, you will find that the most religious community there, they're all anti-Zionist. If you will go to Canada, in Montreal, where there's Bois Boriant, it's called the town of Tosh, it's a very extremely religious community, they're fire against Zionism, and in Montreal proper, and in Toronto there's over many people like that, except they're fearful of speaking up, unfortunately, because of the intimidation of Zionists, which we will touch on with God's help. But basically, the more the religious, the more anti-Zionist. And time does not allow, as I said, we're only trying to bring up some pointers, but we will show you the letters, the just from the two leading rabbis. We have Rabbi Sonnenfeld of blessed memory, who was the first chief rabbi that was, they set up a court system to fight Zionism when they saw the danger of Zionism. And Rabbi Sonnenfeld met in 1924. He went to meet with the King Hussein of the Hejaz, which is the ancestor of the King Abdullah of Jordan, and he went with other members and a delegation of rabbis to show and to give over our loyalty and friendship. This was in 1924, and then we'll take a jump and a leap because time does not permit. In 1947, prior to the creation, the ratification of the state by the United Nations, Rabbi Dushinsky, because Rabbi Sonnenfeld had passed away, Rabbi Dushinsky, who became the chief rabbi of Palestine, pleaded in 1947, pleaded with the United Nations, because the United Nations sent a delegation to Palestine to ask if they can create, if the communities want a Jewish state. I'm sure the Muslim and Christian community didn't applaud this, but the Jewish community itself stood up under the leadership of Rabbi Dushinsky of blessed memory, and I'll read one line from his letter. You can look this up at our site at nkusa.org, www.nkusa.org, and the links, and you will find all these documents, historic documents, the traditional Torah opposition to Zionism. You'll find pictures that we'll show you of our demonstrations and so forth. And everything, by the way, is for free to be taken and used. But anyways, in this letter, the declaration before the United Nations on July 16, 1947, Rabbi Dushinsky pleaded, "We furthermore wish to express our definite opposition to a Jewish state in any part of Palestine." In other words, even though this is you can see his picture, this religious great rabbi, the God-fearing head of the Jewish community says, "We do not want a Jewish state." And then 3 months later, document number AAC 1447, November 18, 1947, he sent a email to the Secretary General of the United Nations, and he said, "I see that imminently they're going to create a state against the will of us." So he's pleading with them to the Secretary General. He says, "The Jewish Orthodox community, Eid Echrei, this God-fearing community of Jerusalem, comprising 60,000 souls, objects to the plea of including Jerusalem in the Jewish state or its residents becoming automatically citizens of the Jewish state. Our community demands that Jerusalem be an international zone under your protection with full autonomy, and its citizens be free, and its residents be free citizens of the national zone of Jerusalem. We beg of you not to take any action before receiving a memorandum signed by Rabbi Dushinsky." Now, basically, we're just trying to show you how the opposition was, and the opposition, mind you, continued. And we have books called "The Rabbis Speak Out." I will show it to you later on a clip. We have universally, they all oppose this. I wanted to mention, just to show you who these people were who made the Zionism, and I'll just mention, we have a compilation of who these people were, one by one by one, how they despised God and His Torah. But I just would like to mention two or three little points, because the time does not allow for more. And we will mention, first of all, Theodor Herzl. He wrote in his diary, on page 14, "The way to solve the problem of anti-Semitism is to speak to the head priest of Vienna to get an appointment with the Pope, to make a mass conversion of all the Jews of Austria to Catholicism. In other words, the way to stop our problems is that they should simply drop their religion. It should be done on a Sunday, in the middle of the day, with music and pride publicly. We are the last generation that held on to the faith of our forefathers. The conversion would be in St. Stephen's Cathedral." See, he was just thought about it and thought about it. And then we have to mention that he had one son, his name was Hans, and he wrote proudly in the papers that he did not circumcise his son, and that everybody knows and nobody refutes that he never circumcised his son. The covenant that we had between us and God, the covenant that people gave their lives for and died for if they were forbidden to do that, even in the USSR, people circumcised the sons in the secret cellars and gave the lives they knew they could be carried away to Siberia and murdered, and yet they did this. And he proudly announced not to circumcise the son. Zev Jabotinsky was the mentor of Begin, the well-known prime minister and terrorist Begin, and he was one of the fathers of Zionism, wrote in 1919 in the paper called Chadashos Haaretz, that's the news of the land, in an article called Outside the Camp, he wrote, "In the national home, we will announce that those Jews who have on themselves the rust of exile and refuse to shave off their beards and the earlocks," peyos, this is called peyos. The Jews have beards and peyos. He said, "The Jews who refuse to shave them off will be second-class citizens and will not have the right to vote." Now, if I would tell you this, that somebody came as a leader and said that the national home, Jews who have on themselves the rust of they refuse to shave off their beards and earlocks, you would say this was probably a Nazi. This was not a Nazi. This is Zionism. And they would, if I would tell this to some modern Jewish community, they would say, "Oh, this must be Ahmadinejad. This must be the Arab community, the Muslims." So we want you to know that the false portrayal, the false, what's doing in the world. These are the fathers of Zionism, and the Jewish community constantly fought them tooth and nail. We're coming here, as I should have mentioned right away, because of Al-Quds Day, and Al-Quds is Jerusalem, and we feel that it is extremely important to mention a certain story. Right at the beginning of the Intifada, what brought about the Intifada, most probably, is Sharon. Sharon decided to make a political point. So he went up on the Temple Mount with 1,000 soldiers to show, to make a point that it's theirs. I want you to know that according to the Jewish religion, it is one of the worst crimes. It is an offense that your person gets cut off from God, God forbid, if he goes up on the Temple Mount, if he did not do the proper purifications which is necessary. There are certain purifications that we cannot do today, and there's many specific purifications which must be done, and he, of course, who's who desecrates Sabbath and doesn't do any of these things, went up on the Temple Mount for a political purpose, rebelling against God, throwing the Torah in the face of God. This is what how they respect God's Torah and what they want of Quds, of Jerusalem. Imagine how ironic that is, that these people are laying claim on Jerusalem and on the Temple Mount when they scorn and they abuse and they defile God's Torah and godliness. Quds was a place that was under the auspices and the protection of the Waqf. The Temple Mount was under his protection, under different leadership. We want you to know that we have a letter that was written by Rabbi Baruch Kaplan of blessed memory. He worked in Hebron in 1929, at the time that the the Zionists will always talk about the Hebron massacre, that the Arabs hated the Jews and massacred them. We want you to know how it's very important to look up this letter on www.nkusa.org, because time does not permit me to go through with it. But we want you to know that Rabbi Kaplan was a student in Hebron when there was this pogrom where the Jews were murdered. And he wrote this. Rabbi Kaplan was a distinguished rabbi who created in the United States after the Second World War the Beis Yaakov, the girls' schools that today has tens of thousands of girls, Jewish Orthodox girls from around the world. And it's, the school system is around the world. And he wrote, I was in Hebron, and we lived in total peace. The Arabs were very friendly people, and the Jewish people in Hebron lived together with them. And he goes on, and he says that the Zionists, he said, today wicked Zionists are just like the predecessors who are responsible for causing terrible suffering in Palestine with their wars with the Arabs. May God have mercy. At that time in 1929, the Zionists had a slogan arguing that the Western Wall and Jerusalem's Western Wall is the wall that the Jews pray by the Temple Mount. And he wrote that they had a slogan arguing that the Western Wall in Jerusalem was a Jewish national symbol. Of course the Arabs disagreed with this, considering that they had control of the location for over 1,100 years. However, the Zionist mobs were yelling that the wall is ours. He speaks about that it was under the Waqf, the wall, and that the Jews had the opportunity constantly to pray there, and the Jews had no problem with this. But the Zionists wanted to make a point that it's theirs, the national home, and they brought about this mistrust, and eventually, unfortunately, the terrible tragedy, the pogrom that happened in Hebron. But it was purely because of them. It's in this letter again that he speaks about how the Zionists came. A group of Zionists came on bicycles with guns, and the rabbis pleaded to them, "What are you doing here?" And they said, "We've come to protect you." And the rabbi said, "Woe unto us," because they knew that what's going to happen is they're going to bring the anger of the Arabs on them and the mistrust. And when the Arabs, again, were not condoning the terrible pogrom, but when the pogrom happened in 1929 in Hebron, it was definitely because of what the Zionists did. If it wouldn't have been for them, they would have never come about this pogrom, and this never would have come out the other bloodshed, the endless river of bloodshed. Again, it is now a half an hour, and I don't want to hold the people. I'm very thankful for the time given to us. But we want to just mention that the Jewish people are clearly, according to the Torah, not only the ideology is corrupt of Zionism, but we are clearly in the Torah, it says that we are put under oath by God, a prophecy of King Solomon, and it's brought in the Talmud that we are put under oath not to return en masse to the land, not to rebel against any nation. We have to be loyal citizens in every country residing. And thirdly, we're not to make any attempt to end exile. We wait for the day when God will make a metaphysical change in the world where all humanity will recognize God, and then we will all go up and serve Him. That is what we yearn to return to the Holy Land. Not for a piece of nationalism, for a piece of land. And not we will do this with our own force or with a gun and standing over people. We believe the day will come when all humanity will recognize one God. God will make this miraculous change, and then we will go up and serve Him. Till that day comes, to take over the land is expressly forbidden, even if the land would have been uninhabited. Being that the land is inhabited by a people, it is, as I've said, breaching all the laws of not to steal and kill. And our hearts bleed and our hearts suffer with the people of Palestine. We've sent a delegation of rabbis just recently, more than once, with Viva Palestina, with the Gaza Freedom March, and so forth, to go and bring medical aid, thousands of dollars of medical aid for the people of Gaza. And we were embraced by the leadership there, because they know, and they said, we have nothing against the Jewish people. This is what it's all about. The Zionists want to call this a religious conflict, and if you oppose them, you're an anti-Semite. Know that this has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. Opposing Zionism is right. And, of course, again, we must stress we're not condoning violence. We pray for the speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the state. All the rabbinical authorities who gave their lives to serve God oppose Zionism, and then they weren't anti-Semites, and they weren't self-hating Jews. As I say, visit our communities and you will see these people give their lives and money and education, everything they have to serve God and the love of God and the love of their fellow human beings and the love of the fellow Jews. So it's not the hate, as the Zionists want to call self-hating Jews. We oppose Zionism because we are Jews. We oppose Zionism because we are people who believe in the Almighty and that it is His world. And we went to visit Turkey now when the people were attacked on the flotilla, and we embraced them. We were supposed to be on that flotilla, but that's another story. And we embraced these people and apologized for what's been done in their name, in our name. And we said this is against God and it's totally wrong. We have pictures, but the time does not permit. Our people demonstrate constantly against Zionism. And this is what happens to them when they're demonstrating in Palestine. They're being beaten, arrested, and nobody talks about this. Every Orthodox Jew knows that they're being oppressed there because they are Jewish and they oppose Zionism. Everybody knows that if you are religious and you oppose Zionism, you are in the danger in the state of Israel. Everybody knows. And still people are afraid to stand up. There would be hundreds of thousands more who would stand up and protest, but they don't because of fear. But even when they do protest, we have here, just a few weeks ago, 10,000 people by the White House, in front of the White House, in Lafayette Park, and it wasn't demonstrating against Netanyahu when he came, and it wasn't even mentioned. We demonstrate in Palestine. We would like to show you pictures of tremendous amounts of people gathering in Palestine. Here you have in the streets of Jerusalem. You can see tens of thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands demonstrating, and it never gets reported. But what happens here, we can show you some more bigger pictures in other places. Again, time does not permit. But look at our site for all of this. But when they demonstrate, and we burn the Israeli flag once a year in every part of the world where there's a very large Jewish community. But the point is, when we do demonstrate, we get beaten. And it's intimidating, and therefore people are afraid to speak up. Or else there would be many more people in Toronto would be speaking up, but they're fearful. We have full of colored pictures against time does not permit all this. We would like you just to know that our hearts cry for the people of Palestine, and therefore we plead with everybody. God is the Almighty, and everything is in His hands. USSR disappeared overnight without any bleeding and almost entirely without any bloodshed, because everything, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire disappeared. We can stop this. How? Because if we pray to the Almighty, who is the Almighty, who gives rewards and punishment, everything in His hand, we should all pray for a speedy and peaceful dismantlement of the State of Israel. And let us remember that who were the ones who stopped South Africa, their apartheid, who stopped the racism. The nations in the United Nations accepted them, and they went on the merry way and dealt with everybody. It was the grassroots. So we're pleading with everybody, although we have to pray, and that's the most important thing, but we must also stand up. As God is righteous and good, we have to stand up for the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine, the people of Quds. We have to tirelessly and fearlessly stand up and tell the world we are not intimidated. We are not anti-Semitic if we oppose Zionism. On the contrary, Zionism is the greatest exacerbator, the greatest factory of causing anti-Semitism around the world and causing bloodshed of Arabs and Muslims and Jews alike. Let us stop and let us take out this foreign body that has come to the Holy Land, this nationalism. If we were able to live for hundreds of years in peace and harmony without any human rights groups to protect us, even though we were very religious, and now Zionism comes 100 years ago and all of a sudden there's chaos and mistrust and death, so why isn't anybody using the logic and stepping out of the box and saying, you know what, this is the problem. It is the problem, it is clearly the problem, and it's only the works of Satan that it will ratify. So let us not be intimidated by Zionism, speak up and say to the world, save the people of Gaza, they are the victims, save the people of Palestine, free Gaza, free Palestine entirely, let it be, so we can once again live together, Jews, Muslims, Christians, that we should be able to, a Jew, to show their gratitude and gratefulness for all the good done to us throughout the years, and that we should be able to serve God as God wants in shalom and peace. There is much more to talk about AIPAC, about the how the politicians are fearful of speaking up, to speak about what they're digging up graves of our ancestors, of Jews, and which other countries give respect for and don't touch, they touch and they keep it holy, and they are with impunity, they dig up the graves, the Zionists, and the graves of Jewish and Arab ancestry. We have so much more to talk about, but the time does not allow, but I hope in the near future to come again, to come personally and convey this and answer questions, and that we should be able to totally have a clarity in this issue, that we should be able to, the next time, and God's help when I do come, to celebrate a free Palestine, a free Gaza, a free Quds, and that the day should be soon in our days where all humanity will recognize the one God and we will serve Him in peace. Assalamu alaikum to all of you. And again, I apologize. I hope soon that I'll be able to come to your community. I'm looking forward and yearning for that. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. We felt it necessary to just show you also, because I forgot to before when I was listing the leaders of the Zionists, Chaim Weizmann, the father, the first president of Zionism, the one who was pivotal in getting the Balfour Declaration, in 1938, when the Jews were starting to be slaughtered and by the Nazis, they had a meeting, and the Zionists knew what's happening, though it was secret in the world. And Chaim Weizmann said, and I'm quoting him, "Palestine cannot absorb the Jews of Europe. We want only the best of Jewish youth to come to us." In other words, because they didn't have the opposition yet of the Palestinian people, and they said, "What we do." They, in other words, they didn't have a PLO, they didn't have any other groups, so they were not afraid of bringing in Jews. Yet, he said, "Palestine cannot absorb the Jews of Europe. We want only the best of Jewish youth to come to us. We want only the educated to enter Palestine for the purpose of increasing its culture. The other Jews will have to stay where they are and face whatever fate awaits them. These millions of Jews are dust on the wheels of history and may have to be blown away. We don't want them pouring into Palestine. We don't want Tel Aviv to become another low-grade ghetto." And this was written just in many places. It's this quote, it's in his writings. But this is just a copy of a Zionist paper, the Jewish Press, Friday, October 18th, 2002. What we want to just show you, that these people were rebelling, although they put this aura of holiness and Torah, they detested religious Jews. They only wanted cultured Jews. They were ready that millions of Jews should die and not be a problem for them in the creation of this national home that's a rebellion against God. It's mind-boggling, and if somebody would hear this, they would say it's impossible. If somebody would hear this, they would say this has to be the Nazis themselves. It can't be the heroes, the so-called heroes of Jews. So know the truth, and don't be intimidated by opposing Zionism. This is a sample of all the other issues that we're talking about. Thank you very much.